Hi, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, this was the weirdest thing I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of weird things. But it happened in Wisconsin last week because Francesca Hung was supposed to win by like 30 points. She was ahead of everyone. And she was just, we just thought, all of us, that this socialist, really strange girl with a lot of mental illness was going to be the governor or the governor candidate for Wisconsin. But somehow, in the middle of the night, they found 5 USB sticks, little sticks. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I think something like that, when the NBC reporter from Wisconsin had to respond to that news. So I thought you might enjoy hearing that. This is Steve Carnicky of ABC or NBC Milwaukee, responding to the news that they suddenly found these 5 sticks in the middle of the night. And, it turned out that they were for David Crowley, not Francesca. And Francesca lost, but nobody knew exactly what was happening in that moment. So he's live on the air. Here he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I here's the thing. Let's look at it this way. We're kind of indefinitely waiting for them to get their act together here and get the sticks and bring them back and go on. And we've got folks here who are working real late. And I don't think we want to, you know, keep them here to, this could go 90 minutes. And it's 90 minutes of me saying, have you heard of any other athletes running for Congress? We've come so far here. It's been 4 hours since polls closed. It's been an unbelievably interesting and intense night here, and it really is coming down to this one giant, you know, update in Milwaukee. But man, we waited 90 minutes for them. They did this whole procession, and then they find out there's nothing on the sticks. So it's just my way of saying that I'm just trying to say the audience here, so I'm not abruptly ending on them, just why we're doing this. Because the audience has been with us for 4-6 hours in some cases for this moment that didn't happen. And so folks, I think we are going to wrap it here for the reasons we're saying here. Just, but I want you to know, I hate, you know, doing this to you. Cause you've been, I know you're here for results, and we've come to the point where it's like one thing away. I hope you understand that we just, you know, we got to let everyone here has got to, you know, has been here for a long time. And so I'm just trying to.
All right. Okay. We're going to stop. I just wanted you to hear that. Can you imagine that's election night? And this is a reporter with NBC. I'm sure he's very good. They wouldn't have hired him. He doesn't know what to say. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of election night, presidential election night 2020. Were you watching those returns like I was? When they came in, President Trump was way, way, way ahead. And suddenly they announced to us that they were going to stop the counting and reconvene in the morning, when if you're my age or even a little younger, you might know that that has never happened in the history of the United States, as far as I know, maybe pioneer days. But no, It never happened because they count and we get the results in the morning. That's happened every year of my life. But no, in 2020. And so we were like speechless, like what? What? And that's what that reminds me of. And maybe for a very good reason. Well, today we're going to be talking about what happened in that race last week. That was the midterm race for governor in the state of Wisconsin. And we're also going to be talking about the good news about who won and who the opponent is and what's happening as a result of that in Wisconsin, white races to watch. And yeah, you say, well, I'm not from Wisconsin. Yeah, but friends, every state is facing the obstacle of these machines, of cheating, because as far as I can tell, very little has happened to stop it. And so just brace yourselves. And if there's anything you can do personally, volunteer at the polls, or better yet, go work at the polls. That's better than volunteering because you'll have more authority. And do what you can and also help these candidates. It's an amazing thing that's happening. All right, so today we have one of my favorite guests, Terry Dietrich. He is from Waukesha County. He's the chairman of the Waukesha GOP. He's a committeeman for the RNC from the state of Wisconsin. Terry knows everything. When it comes to Wisconsin, he knows everything. And so I thought he's the man to talk to. And we'll do that right after this. Well, I bet you saw that in August, just not long ago, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey signed a law to remove the state's 24-week gestational limit on abortion. The legislation allows licensed physicians to use their professional medical judgment to perform procedures later in pregnancy without statutory restrictions or exceptions. In other words, you can abort your baby now in Massachusetts up to 9 months, up to birth. And she had a bunch of women around her, young women, and they're smiling and cheering. And, you know, I even felt like they were sincerely smiling and cheering, not that they were acting. Young women and older women think this is a great idea. Can you even imagine what that would be? I know you can. And so this is what we're facing in this country. And the reason I support the preborn and the reason they host my show is because they're doing everything they can to stop this madness by showing these women early on in their pregnancy or at whatever stage an ultrasound of their babies. And when they see that baby, they can't bring themselves to terminating its life. It happens to most of them, the majority of them. I think I want to say as many as 60%. I don't have a recent figure on that. But can you imagine what we're stopping here? And that's you. That's you by your generous donation. You know, it's $28 for one ultrasound, and you can stop this. We can't change the law in Massachusetts. Most of us don't live there. It's a tiny little state. But can you imagine this happening? And the only way I think we can really stop it right now is through helping girls just the redemptive way by showing them their babies. It's a brilliant, brilliant thing. I think it's God's way. And if you'd like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right, well, stay tuned because this is really fascinating. What happened to Francesca Hung, the crazy, crazy socialist slash communist who is lost at the last minute when she was 30 points ahead? And then the other races going on in Wisconsin. Who should be governor? Who's the Republican candidate? Because Wisconsin is a very important state. It's one of the 10 that the left always targets because those 10 have a lot of population and a lot of influence and a lot of electors for the Electoral College. So I hope you'll stay tuned to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness.
that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
All right, running into some breaking news now at 5 o'clock. After a very close race, David Crowley was named the winner of the Democratic primary for governor.
Well, Crowley's campaign tells Fox 6 that Francesca Hong called to concede the race. It was very close. Crowley came only one by 0.4%. The Associated Press didn't call the race until close to 3 this morning. Well, the results came after count delays in Milwaukee. County election officials described it as, quote, a human error during the download of the absentee ballot.
Of course, a human error. Sandy Rios with you. You know, this is the first time this primary season that we've had reason to wonder, you know, if there's some mischief going on. Not that there might be not be mischief going on in other places, but this was really very blatant. And so anyway, Wisconsin has a choice now between a so-called moderate named David Crowley and the very strong conservative, part of the Freedom Caucus in Washington, D.C., named Tom Tiffany. Well, no one will be able to explain this better to us than my good friend Terry Dietrich, who is the RNC committeeman from Wisconsin, also chairman of the Waukesha County GOP. Terry, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sandy, great to be with you as always.
Okay, so there was quite the drama. I think Francesca Hong was ahead by like 35%. I believe that's what it was. And then suddenly, David Crowley wins. Did you see any sign, did you have any indication at all that David Crowley might actually beat Francesca Hong?
Well, you know, this is like a repeat here 3 or 4 times here in Wisconsin, going back the last 5 years in our election cycles, that we've had Milwaukee as a problem, always some kind of a glitch, and then late night reporting that somehow the candidates end up flipping and numbers look a lot different than they had been predicted. So the last 2.5 or 3 weeks, you know, every single poll in the state of Wisconsin had Hong up at least 25 points. And you can go right down the line, and they were 25 to 30 points. And all of a sudden, and keep in mind that David Crowley, who's the Milwaukee County executive, actually had dropped out of the race about a month and a half ago. Crowded primary, he effectively came forward and said, I don't see a path for me to win. He dropped out. Francesca Hong takes off. What looks to me to be kind of the establishment Democrats go into a panic mode, get current Governor Evers out on the road throughout the state with Crowley, basically resurrecting his campaign. So they basically campaigned about 3 weeks, maybe not even that. And lo and behold, at the end of this thing, where Hong looks like she's up big, the other candidates are in single digits, and David Crowley pulls it out, you know, in the dead of the night in Milwaukee, his hometown, and a place where we have had constant issues every single election cycle. In this case, the term was a human error. In the past, it was machine malfunctions, et cetera, et cetera. So it certainly is cause for major concern. You know, I know that one of the gentlemen on our Wisconsin Election Commission has called for an investigation, but it seems like this is always the circumstance that it's after the fact that we have to go back and try to try to decipher what they're up to. But at the end of the day, David Crowley was on no one's radar screen to even finish this primary, much less win it. So here we are in Wisconsin as usual.
You know, Terry, I've been on my hobby horse since 2020 on those machines. I don't know why we have evidence now that they are virtually all corrupt. All corrupted. They all have the same software that's able to do the same thing. And nobody's done anything about it, and that makes me crazy. Here we are ready for this midterms, and the Republicans could have done something about this, but they haven't.
Right. Yeah, it's very, very frustrating. You know, back in 2025, 5 months after President Trump won the state of Wisconsin to put he and his campaign over the top, thank God, by 0.67, I believe it was, less than a point, the smallest margin in presidential history. 5 months later, Brad Schimmel, an attorney general, well-known, good Christian guy, former attorney general for the state of Wisconsin under Scott Walker, ends up losing by over 250,000 votes or 12%. And, of course, we had the same problem down in Milwaukee. Actually, Senator Ron Johnson and our state chairman went down there, saw the proceedings going on for the count. There was a problem with the machines. The machines were open. The chain of custody, in our opinion, was clearly breached. And, you know, Senator Johnson even said, this is the sloppiest operation I've ever seen. Unfortunately, whatever efforts were made fell on naught. I mean, we have a state right now that is completely controlled by the Supreme Court, as you know, 5-2 by the Democrats, or in that case, the liberals. A Democratic governor who refuses to address any of this. We have a Wisconsin Election Commission that's 3-3 Republican-Democrat. However, some of our Republicans are voting more with the Democrats than they are with the Republicans to fight. We have a Department of Motor Vehicles that won't surrender a list that they've had for a couple of years that ultimately, I believe, would reveal tremendous number of illegals that voted in 24, 25, et cetera. So we've got all kinds of problems here, and that it always seems to focus back on Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Election Commission, who's slow, if at all, reacting to any open records requests. And effectively, we see the same rerun every single election cycle. So it's frustrating on the Democrat side to watch how they get away with this, and it's very frustrating that in our party there just doesn't seem to be any way to get traction here and actually make something happen. In the state of Wisconsin, I'm not sure how it is in other states, but effectively, when you have a ruling in a county, it can be immediately appealed in any other county. And so what we see is if we have a favorable ruling on something like this here in Waukesha County, which is conservative, of course, you know, there's an immediate appeal to Dane County in Madison, Wisconsin, the capital, and basically these cases just fall on deaf ears or just are not acted on. So it's very, very frustrating. Trying to get the DOJ involved with this, which they have, you know, they've made some inroads here in Wisconsin, nothing substantive yet, but I know that they are investigating the Wisconsin Election Commission, what's been going on up there. But so far, Milwaukee has just continued to skate through on these things with these late night dumps and things like this that just makes everyone in Wisconsin wonder if we have free and fair elections, which in my opinion, we do not.
Yeah, well, I share your opinion. And before we move into the new landscape for the governor's race, didn't Francesca Hong dispute the outcome, and didn't she threaten to sue pretty quickly after the race was decided?
I did not see that. Now, if her campaign made some efforts in that way, I did not see it. She gave a concession speech, which was strangely very, very early and immediate and very conciliatory. So, you know, you really have to wonder what was crafted and orchestrated behind the scenes here, because at the end of the day, I think even her strongest supporters were surprised that she just basically, you know, stepped out, called Crowley right away, conceded, and so far she's really kind of drifted off here. I think that one would look at how the Democrats run their internal primary selection process, and it's certainly not transparent, because Mandela Barnes, you know, dropped out all of a sudden, in some cases leading the polls. They had a forum or a debate downtown about 2 weeks ago, and the next day he just simply drops out. No real reason. Felt that he couldn't necessarily win, but very strange how individuals have dropped out of these races, then turned around and supported you know, more conservative, I shouldn't say more conservative, more moderate candidates like Crowley. And then Francesca Hong was effectively made the far left wing individual out there that, that obviously the Democratic elites didn't want to see run. They felt that she would be too extreme here in Wisconsin, which I totally agree with. And the bottom line is I think we would have beaten her pretty badly. And I think they saw the writing on the wall and effectively just had her step out and made their deal with her behind the scenes. I'm not quite sure what happened, but she certainly went away, in my opinion, with a whimper.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's amazing. Now, some might argue the Democrats in their cheating this time. I'm going to call it that. I actually did us a favor because Francesca Hung was crazy. But I want to come back to her in a minute. But right now, I want to ask you about David Crowley because every article I looked up this morning says moderate David Crowley, moderate Crowley.
Yep.
And I seem to remember that he said along the way before he jumped back in the race that there wasn't much difference between his positions and Francesca Hung's. So what do you think about his positions? Is he a moderate, Terry?
Oh, no. No, not at all. And, you know, he has not been an effective executive leader in Milwaukee County, which by all accounts, looking at it from a financial standpoint, looking at it from a crime standpoint, looking at it from an educational standpoint, which he has a footprint on all of those issues. He's been a very ineffective county executive, and it's a very powerful position. So from that standpoint, in my opinion, he's just not even qualified necessarily for the job here as governor. And he hasn't had a track record that would lead you to believe that he was going to cross over to Republicans and try to be productive, et cetera, and constructive. So from that standpoint, there's no way you can call him a moderate. He does take some positions. Interestingly, he's been a relatively pro-choice schools, which is interesting, a little bit against the grain against the real hard Democrat core. And a couple of other things, but generally speaking, he is going to be, you know, carrying the mantle of the Democrat liberal, you know, little liberal mantra. There's no way you can call this guy a moderate. Now, the press, along with the Democrats, are not, you know, they're gullible. And, they're not
that's the kindest.
So the bottom line is they're going to paint him as a moderate.
That's the kindest thing you could say about the press, that they're naive,
yeah.
Terry, but I'll go with that.
Yeah.
It's
incredible how they're acting like he's some kind of a moderate. And, they will play up the fact that he was, you know, born in Milwaukee and to poverty and worked his way up, which I'll give him credit for that. But from the standpoint of what his positions and ideology has been, he's been a solid left-wing Democrat, liberal all the way. There's no doubt about it. But obviously, they're interested in firing up the African-American vote, the minority vote in the state. And, compared to Francesca Hung and how she has been exposed here nationally, yes, he looks moderate within the Democrat ranks, but he's certainly not moderate as far as any normal Wisconsinite would perceive.
Does he have, as you know, people who are great can lose because they don't have charisma. And I'll just make a point that these socialists, communists, have been trained to smile and be so genteel on the camera. And so people can be deceived by affect. So how does Crowley come across? Is he a good campaigner? Is he clever? Is he good on the stump?
Yeah, great question. Let me just take 10 seconds to articulate the fact that Francesca Hung, if you look at the demographics that voted for her, it was overwhelmingly, I would say 80%, maybe 90% in this state, it was the age group of 19 to 31. No one, what you would consider kind of being a traditional Democrat, was ready to vote for her. And I believe that's the reason why they deep-sixed her, was because they saw that it was basically the young campuses and the indoctrination youth who was ready to vote for her, and the numbers weren't there for them in a general. I think that's what happened. Crowley, on the other hand, is a guy who comes out, and he's a nice enough fellow. When you're speaking with him, he's a nice person. He's not very vindictive and negative talking. working. But again, his track record is pretty thin. And he's a person that, from a charisma standpoint, I don't personally see him having that much command of the issues that would excite a base or certainly a Republican at all. And the bottom line is they are going to control him very clearly on what the messaging is. He is not going to be a freewheeling type of candidate out there that's going to go on the campaign trail and, be pressing the flesh with a lot of people, in my opinion. They did the same with Tony Evers. They kept him very controlled, very on message, made sure that they orchestrated his public appearances very carefully with, friends and family type organizations and whatnot. So he's not going to look to get in a tussle, because I think when he does, especially with Tom Tiffany, he's going to appear to be very minimal on the issues and kind of emotional type of a guy. So I think he's not necessarily going to, he's not necessarily going to get any crossover vote, in my opinion. They're just looking to try to get their base out as much as possible and put their machine in place and probably rely heavily on Tony Evers to make him look even more moderate. And Tony's been really kind of the face of his campaign for the last 3 weeks. I would expect that to continue.
You know, let me just stop, Terry, to explain something to people. I assume people know things maybe they don't know, but Wisconsin has a very interesting history. Actually, Madison was the birth of communism in the United States. So it Correct. Is a hotbed of leftism, but it's also a hotbed of good, solid, salt of the earth people, like in Waukesha and other counties, Christians, farmers, dairy farmers. I will say this, cause as an aside, Terry, I've never heard a Wisconsinite speak that wasn't well-spoken and educated. And that goes for the dairy farmers. And all. I mean, it really is an amazing state. Mm-hmm. So you've got these two opposing forces. And so my question is the teachers union still the driving force controlling the elections and the turnout, or are there other forces joining with that?
Great question. Number one, I'll just state this very clearly, which I tell to everybody. Wisconsin is a red state that was hijacked. It's that simple. This is a red state. When you go to every corner of this state, you will see far more conservatives than you will see liberals. The Democrats have built liberal strongholds, primarily in Dane County and Milwaukee County, and then the campuses around the state. It's very similar to Michigan and Minnesota. I don't know about Pennsylvania necessarily, but the upper Midwest states, where you've got these enclaves, primarily urban centers, that are very, very liberal and very active, that are supported heavily by out-of-state money. 80% of all the campaign money spent in Wisconsin by the Democrats, whether it's from dog catcher up to governor and even statewide, even national races, comes from outside of Wisconsin, 80%, where it's exactly the opposite. Most Wisconsinites, most conservatives are supporting these campaigns here. So when you get that kind of money coming out through 501c3 nonprofits that are operating kind of in the gray zone and nebulous year-round, outside of the state party and the county party structure on the Democratic side, you have a lot of pressure. You have a lot of activity going on year-round to scratch and claw every single kind of liberal Democrat out of the woodwork to get out and vote. And to the Democrats' credit, beyond the election integrity stuff, which I really have a major problem with on their side, but they also have invested in Wisconsin for the better part of 20 years on these college campuses in these liberal enclaves and spent millions and millions of dollars, very similar to Colorado. And I'm sure you've read the blueprint, the little book on how they turned Colorado from dead red to dead blue. That's been the investment here in Wisconsin. And frankly speaking, Republicans on the kind of the organizational side have not countered that. And so we are always in a position where, these races are much closer than they should be. Frankly speaking, also to be honest with you. Republicans tend to undervote in our state, especially in the non-statewide races, the local races and whatnot. We found that with our WISRED program here in Waukesha County. So our challenge also as Republicans is to get every single Republican, leaning Republican, not only voting, but many of them getting them registered so they can become consistent voters. And that's something I don't think we've done as good of a job as we should have, and the Democrats have done a tremendous job with it. So we're in a state where they've focused and they are energized to literally take power. This communism Hong situation is really manifested very much by Mondani and what's gone on right next door in Minnesota and now Michigan, as you saw a week and a half ago or so in that election. There's an empowerment of that very extreme side of the Democratic Party that now not only is energized and getting out there and kind of synergizing with the younger people, but they're also very, very well funded, especially from out of the state. So it's a scary situation because this state, with another 100 to 200,000 votes on the Republican side, would be winning every single election because we really are a red state. So this is our Gettysburg this November with Tom Tiffany. We must win. If we win, this tide gets turned, the trajectory changes, and lots of good things can happen. If we lose, as we say, please don't Minnesota us.
Yeah. We say that in Florida. We say don't New York us. But let me ask you, what was the turnout in the election just last week?
It is disappointing, but in a way understandable. So the Democrats voted pretty much up and down the ballot about twice as many as Republicans. Maybe not quite that much, but certainly 30 to 40% more. So you would look at that on face and say, boy, what happened? But the bottom line is Tom Tiffany, as you know, was endorsed by President Trump back in February and does not, for the first time in a long time, and this is just wonderful, it's for the first time in a long time, Tom Tiffany does not have an opponent going into the primary. So he had from February all the way here till August unopposed to get out and pound the pavement. It's been fantastic not having a contentious primary, as you might remember back to the Tim Michaels and Becky Clayfish and Nicholson race, which was brutal, right? So this time, Tom has had clear sailing, and I believe that most people paid attention, but effectively didn't think that it was necessary, absolutely necessary to get out and vote. I wish they would have voted at higher numbers, but at the end of the day, because there was no primary, that was pretty much the drag. Bottom line is I expect our red core vote to get out very, very strong this November. But that may not be enough. We need to find those unregistered Republicans, those fence-sitting Republicans. Hong certainly would have energized that kind of middle-of-the-road or fence-sitting conservative or Republican a little bit more than Crowley has. But we believe in Tom Tiffany. He's a great candidate. He's a great man. He's a great Christian, and I believe that he's capable of getting the 1.4 million plus vote that we're going to need to win. President Trump, as you remember, had the highest vote total of any a presidential candidate in history, and he got 1.699 votes, a million votes. And so we're looking to try to get that Trump vote or something similar to that. If we can do that, I think we'll be fine.
So you've answered part of my next question, and that is, we haven't talked about Tom Tiffany. He, as I understand it, represents Wisconsin's 7th District. He's part of the Freedom Caucus in D.C., which to me is like gold standard. It's like the meat, right. the blue ribbon on the meat. And he was elected in May of 2020, and he is a Wisconsinite. Do you think that's off-putting to the suburbanites? I mean, really, you know, those affectations, they matter, those little things. Do you think that matters to them?
Yeah, number one, the fact that we've had literally 4 months in advance at least 4 months in advance of our primary to go out and introduce Tom Tiffany has been a godsend. Okay, I can tell you on the ground here in Waukesha and around the state, we usually are battling through a contentious primary, slinging arrows, spending tons of money, et cetera. So the fact that Tom's had clear sailing, his name recognition in southeastern Wisconsin, where this is effectively going to be won, has been increased greatly since, let's say, back in February and March. He's a Northwoods guy. He's way up in Minocqua, Wisconsin, way in the north, which was, of course, as you know, heavy, heavy Trump. And they obviously need to come out heavily for Tom. His name ID up there is probably 100%. I mean, everybody knows it, and they're going to come to vote for Tom. The campaign has, in the name ID effort over the last couple of months at least, has been, you know, you betcha, talking like a Wisconsinite, being a Wisconsinite, and showing that he's a general good guy, Wisconsin person with the same values as the vast majority of Republicans or conservatives of Wisconsin. So selling him as the guy next door, the guy you'd see at the supper club on Friday night, the guy you'd see at church, the guy who lends a hand on the farm, you know, and he's from that area, is I think, brilliant. I think it's excellent. I think it's very genuine. And I think people, even Democrats, I think, would look and say, you know what, I don't agree with his policies, but he's a good person and he's a good guy. And I think that's gonna play very well for him. And obviously, he's pushing hard in southeastern Wisconsin here in Waukesha. He's been here maybe 20 times already, and we're constantly having events. So I believe, you know, because of not having that primary and just his nature and his hard working around the state, his name ID will be very, very high. It won't be a circumstance where people didn't vote for this guy because they didn't know him or he seemed kind of elite or, he was a Madison type guy or something. The state knows him and the state likes him. And I think that's going to pay big dividends. I think if the polling comes out in the next couple of weeks, keeping this race close, financially, he's been able to raise quite a bit, obviously, with President Trump's endorsement and having a lot of time to get out there, press the flesh, especially with the donor community. I think he's going to be in a solid position. If those numbers continue to be strong, I think you're going to see more momentum, and you're going to see, we've already had the president out twice, I believe it is, for him. He was out in western Wisconsin in Derek Van Orden's district, which is a congressional district that we have to win, and it's going to be close, but the president supports him on that. He was out, and Vice President J.D. Vance has been in probably, at least 4 or 5 times. We expect him in a lot. So the president, the vice president, and other surrogates coming in here for Tom over the next month and a half, I think, is going to be critical. If they get in here and stay strong with us, I think we got a great shot to win.
Terry, you and I have talked a lot through the years, and one of the things that has been a kind of refrain with us is what's happening in most states. I can't really think of an exception, maybe Florida, and that is that the Republican Party is, in general, very weak. Not real concerned, kind of asleep at the wheel. I'm sure that's not true of everyone. I'm painting a broad brush here. But when push came to shove, like during the election fiasco of 2020, there were some real disappointments from Republican leaders, as I recall, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. So my question is, have those not wanting to get off their duff Republicans been frightened in any way by the surge of Democratic socialists and maybe sort of awaken to the dangers we actually face?
I believe so in Wisconsin. And it's even more extreme than that, Sandy. Bottom line is, this is our Gettysburg. Anyone who's involved at all in politics in the state on the Republican side cannot be pointing fingers, cannot be thinking that somehow there's a tomorrow, there's a next time, because there is no next time in Wisconsin for us. We've lost the Supreme Court. That's likely gone for 5 to 10 years. We're down 5-2, so there's no chance, you know, by November or early next spring that there's going to be a turnaround in that. We don't have the attorney generalship, the top cop, and the person who probably could take major action on the election integrity side. We don't have the governorship. And the state legislature, state senate, and state assembly, although we have majorities, they're extremely close. And they could potentially flip the other way in this election. I'm hoping not. I think we're looking pretty strong and going to hold at least one of those. But the bottom line is, you can imagine over the last 3-4 years, I mean, besides President Trump winning here in Wisconsin, unfortunately on a statewide basis, we've lost almost, and Ron Johnson, of course, winning, we've lost almost every statewide race. So we are up against the wall. There is no more tomorrow. And I believe that even, you know, the most establishment type Republican who just kind of feels like, well, we'll just go do the same thing and expect different results, and let's just go through the same, you know, process. I think they've woken up to the point, the fact that if we are all not united and we all don't get 100% effort going towards Tom Tiffany, this state will be Minnesota or worse. And that is just not acceptable to most Wisconsinites. I just feel it. People are not like, I don't understand what they do in Minnesota, but it doesn't seem like that they have much fight, and they're not organized to fight. And this state has people here. I think the general consensus is that we don't want to be like that. We don't accept these extreme type of circumstances like that have been created over there. And it's just not Wisconsin. It's not us. So yeah. I'm hoping that we can pull this off. I think as I said, the lack of the primary for Tom, the early money that's come into the state, and the amount of canvassing, door knocking, outreach that's taken place by a number of different parties, including the state party, I think has been on board at a higher level this time. Just because we all know if we don't win, Wisconsin is not going to be Wisconsin anymore. And so
that would be so tragic.
Maybe that's shaken some of these guys.
That would be so tragic. That would just be horrible. But are there any other statewide races up? I mean, any other races that we should know about?
The attorney general's race, obviously, it'd be hard to imagine that there would be a split. In other words, if we didn't win the governorship, could we win the attorney generalship or vice versa? Not likely. So to Eric Toney, who's running for attorney general, good man. And, you know, we need him to go along with Tom Tiffany as the major candidate. And then obviously on the congressional side, I don't know if you heard, but last week in the primary, Michael Alfonso, who will be the youngest congressman, was elected, not elected. He won the primary, which effectively means that he's going to win the general, because that northern area, it's the largest district, congressional district east of the Mississippi. It's all of those Northwoods where Tom Tiffany is from right to left on the state of Wisconsin. It's huge. And Michael Alfonso, a young man who ran, won the primary. So that was good. And that's out of the way. Let's just say that's off the table. And then Derek Van Orden, the congressional race in southwestern Wisconsin, is absolutely critical. President Trump won that district by 12, and Brad Schimmel 5 months later lost it by 12. So it's a rural Minnesota media-affected district with a number of college campuses on it, the largest number of college campuses in Wisconsin in the congressional district. So Derek Van Orden's congressional district's very key. And then, of course, Brian Stile, the first district here on the right, on the southeast corner. I think Brian's going to be fine. He's a fantastic guy and well-known and liked in his district. I think he'll probably be okay on that one. But those are the ones to watch. Tom Tiffany must win. It's all about Tom. We need the governorship. Okay. We have the governorship. We can change the trajectory. We can go after election integrity. We can go after transparency in Madison, et cetera, et cetera. And Wisconsin can remain Wisconsin. So it's
well, of course,
simple.
On a national level, these other races matter, of course. You know this. I don't know. Are these Alfonso, Derek Van Orden, and Brian Stile, are they all Republican-held districts? Are, you know, what seats are held?
Yes. So, I should have explained that Alfonso ran after Tom Tiffany's congressional seat.
Okay.
So, in order to run for governor, Tom vacated his seat. Michael Alfonso stepped up and ran for that seat. So we win that seat. We, you know, it's an incumbent seat that we hold. Derek Van Orden by small margins, has won a couple of times. So that's a seat that's in his hands, but it's very close, and I would say that the Democrats are going to spend and put every effort on that particular race in southwestern Wisconsin, because it will have a significant impact on the governor's race as well, and all the races up and down the ticket. And then Brian Stile, of course, is he's the chairman of the House Administrative Committee and very high leadership in the House, and I know that the Democrats would love to displace him, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Brian's going to be in good shape. But when you take, when I was talking to Speaker Johnson a couple of weeks ago at an event here in southeastern Wisconsin, and he said, look, every one of these races matters, because for the House, you know, this is down to under five seats that we've got to win and to hold the House. That's as close as you can possibly get, and I think both of these seats, if we win them, plus Alfonso keeping Tom Tiffany's seat, really is a great contribution for Wisconsin. We want to sweep all three of those.
Yeah.
So I'd say okay. Right now, two out of three of them are looking really good. One of them is close.
Okay, and that's Derek Van Norden. All right, well, listen,
yes.
This has been great, Terry. I always love talking to you, and you always make things very clear. So Waukesha is still in good standing, and
we're being attacked as usual from Milwaukee, and lots of new movers coming in from Chicago and places where they're trying to escape all of the crazed leftism down there, but we're holding well with WISRED. We're on our sixth year, if you can believe it. You and I have been talking about this that long, and our WISRED local elections program is still strong. We won some really big races on the eastern side of our county, which is a contentious area where the Democrats are trying to infiltrate. So I think things are going well, but you know, it's a battle every year. The Democrats are spending more and more. Last year, just on two mayoral races and a school board race on the eastern side of our county, they spent over pretty close to $1 million just on three races, which was directly against WISRED. Now, we happen to win two out of the three, but still, it has just shown us that the Democrats are willing to pour outside money. That was all money that came in from PACs and 501c3s from outside of Wisconsin that poured money into those particular races. And we haven't seen them get that granular up until now. And so, you know, they want to push back at every level, and, they're relentless. So we have to be relentless and fire back, and we do.
It's like a civil war in a way. It really is. We're fighting to preserve our country, and then we have this whole group of people who hate this country. And so this is really what it boils down to. So I would say, citizens of Wisconsin, arise, you know? And the rest of you listening to me in the United States, this is a critical moment for all of us, and we have to go the second mile more than we usually do. And get involved, support candidates. It's not too late to do that for the general. So anyway, Terry Dietrich, RNC National Committeeman from Wisconsin, and also chairman of Waukesha GOP. Terry, always appreciate your time. God bless you.
Wonder-
and hopefully our next conversation will be a good one.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Sandy. God bless you. God bless your viewers. If I can help anybody, let me know here in Wisconsin. God bless.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Terry.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortions performed by Planned Parenthood were among the top leading causes of death in America, revealing the terrifying truth of the left's anti-life agenda. According to Planned Parenthood's 2022-23 annual report, abortions performed by the organization accounted for the top four leading causes of death. Think about that. Paid for by our tax dollars. And honestly, this freight train is going down the track so fast and so powerfully. It's really hard. It's going to be hard for us to stop this. And I think one of the best ways, I've said before, I'll say again, is preborn. Preborn, who is not part of the government, not part of the public debate or campaigns, but an organization that's simply providing ultrasounds for moms who are pregnant and doubting whether they should carry the baby to allow them to see their baby through ultrasound. It's an amazing process, and it actually works. When the moms see their babies, I think it doubles the chance that they will not take the life of their baby. You know, you can't beat those odds. If you'd like to help, $28 pays for one ultrasound, just one, and you can send however much you can afford. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Tom Tiffany says the November election comes down to a fundamental difference in how each political party sees Wisconsin's future.
Democrats want government to have more. I want government to be open, transparent, and accountable to you.
Tiffany says he's also focused on lowering property taxes and utility rates while also improving public education. He says that message is resonating with voters across the state.
They know that I am a Wisconsinite through and through, and that I care about the state of Wisconsin, and we are going to make it one of the really great states in America once again.
The congressman from Minocqua is moving ahead with the full backing of the state Republican Party and Wisconsin's Republican congressional delegation. Tiffany says regardless of who his opponent is, he's focused on running a campaign built on making life more affordable for Wisconsinites while also holding government accountable.
We must rise to meet the challenge for our freedom, for our future, for Wisconsin. Yes.
All right, so that's the Republican candidate, Tom Tiffany. He'll be facing David Crawley, as you heard us discuss that with Terry. But the one thing we didn't really say much about, and I want you to at least end on a moment of gratitude, at least for those people in Wisconsin, because they almost got Francesca Hung, who has, she's bipolar. She's had, she is just a mixed up, confused person. And she was almost their governor. She was almost their governor. Just to remind you, here's what she sounds like, clip four.
We say it's 86th, and I'd say it's about time we 86 Trump.
I did marry, I'm proximity to whiteness continues, right? My son is biracial. He's half white and half Korean. And I think navigating, what his identity is and how people perceive him is always at the back of my mind as well.
One thing that they brought up as well was a post from you in 2021 where you said Americans should cancel Thanksgiving, should have done this in 1621. The post has been deleted. Republicans have been highlighting it. Do you still believe that Thanksgiving should be canceled?
Thanksgiving is also a time that's incredibly painful for many people in our communities. And so I think there I wanted to make sure that people understood that there are multiple views.
Yeah, so actually what she said, there's more to what she said about Thanksgiving. Cancel Thanksgiving. Should have done this in 1621. If it takes a worldwide pandemic for us to realize we should stop celebrating colonialism and the original super spreader event that killed indigenous folks and women, so be it. So there you go. They say such nice things, but when they get on camera, they all smile. That's the socialist I'm speaking about right now. And we're going to be talking about this a little bit more, but for today, that's it for Wisconsin. They really dodged a bullet with Francesca, but they might not have dodged a bullet if David Crawley is as far left as we suspect that he is. Well, I appreciate you listening. If you have friends in Wisconsin, you might want to share this podcast with them. I think you might want to do that before the general election. Well, I want to remind you that we couldn't bring this information to you without Preborn. They are our sponsor, and they do great work helping women to decide whether to abort their baby or not. And of course, they're on the Keep Your Baby team. And it's very, very effective when they show women ultrasounds of their babies. If you want to continue to help Preborn, I know many of you are long-term donors. I appreciate that so much. I think I heard that Preborn has saved 80,000 babies just this year. And I just think that's amazing, and I want to thank you for that. And if you'd like to continue helping them to do that, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.